are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock here with you once again on this Friday edition. We'll be talking to Kyle Madsen today. He is a writer and the managing editor over at Titans Wire, part of the USA Today network of NFL blogs, and used to write for Niners Wire. So I really wanted to have Kyle on the show this week, leading up to the Titans game with his unique perspective of covering the Titans now, but also following the 49ers. So we're going to get to him in just a moment, and I want to get to some of the injury reports late in the week here before we get to Kyle. And I do want to remind everybody to follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. The email is lockedon49ers@gmail.com. You can subscribe, rate, review the show on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere. And of course, lockedon49ers.com. Tons of new articles going up there all the time. A new one by Chris Wilson today, which is really cool. I love his film room pieces. He's got one on Shanahan's speed out and drive concepts and using some tape from Jimmy Garoppolo against the Texans. So that you're going to definitely want to check that out. lockedon49ers.com. So a quick look at those Thursday injury reports. The 49ers, the only guy that did not practice due to injury is Trent Brown, unfortunately, still dealing with that shoulder injury. So that's a bad sign for his ability to play on Sunday. DeForest Buckner and Earl Mitchell did not play, but those were just veteran days off. Limited in practice were tight end Garrett Celek. We got to see some Celek time this week, so hopefully his knee heals up. But he was limited. Adrian Colbert limited with thumb and thigh injuries. Maven with a calf, and Lewis Murphy, some sort of an illness. I think he's just sick, so he's out of practice on, or was at least limited on Thursday at practice. Looks like Eric Reed dealing with knee and rib injuries, and Akella Witherspoon also with a knee injury. Those limited participants probably look like they're going to be good to go, so it looks like Trent Brown is most likely the only guy that's not going to be able to suit up for the 49ers on Sunday, which is unfortunate. It'd be nice to have both Staley and Brown, those bookends in there, protecting Garoppolo against the Titans. The Titans injury report, a couple of really major pieces for their team were back and both fully participating in practice. That's tackle Taylor Lewan, who was dealing with the back injury, and quarterback Marcus Mariota. Of course, he's got a little bit of a knee injury. They both practiced fully, and it looks like they will both play. And we'll talk to Kyle about how serious Marcus Mariota's knee injury is and if it's hindered him so far this year. All right, enough lollygagging. Let's get to today's guest. Okay, joining me now is Kyle Madsen. He's the managing editor at Titans Wire and former writer at Niners Wire. You can find out his work at TitansWire.com and his Twitter, which is a must follow for any football fan, either Titans or Niners, at Kyle A. Madsen. Kyle, thanks for joining the show once again.
Yeah, Brad, thanks for having me on again. I'm glad I didn't mess it up too bad last time, and you thought I was worth having on.
Well, I was disappointed that you jumped from Niners Wire to Titans Wire, so I couldn't have you on as often. I guess I could still have you on to talk Niners, though.
Yeah, I still definitely follow the team, but most of my energy now is obviously with the Titans.
Yeah, doing great work over there. I was looking at it a little while ago and seeing all the articles you're posting over there. And you guys are prolific over at those Wire sites. And USA Today is putting you guys to work. It's really cool to see how much content you guys can put up over there.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice. I work in radio as well, and I'm off early enough that I can get out and get some writing done and still have a whole day to do all that. It's nice. It's a lot of fun. It keeps you immersed in the team for sure. You got to always be on your toes and know what's going on. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get with that team here. What's going on? 8-5 Titans. I feel like the feeling around the Titans is that it is worse than what you would think of for an 8-5 team. And on the reverse side, the 49ers, I think the feeling around Santa Clara is maybe a little bit better than a 3-10 team. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe. And I mean, you can see it in the fact the 49ers are favored in this game, despite the fact they're five games worse. The teams just kind of seem to be going in totally opposite directions, where the 49ers started the year with very low expectations and the expectation that they might wind up with the number one pick, whereas the Titans, they were coming off a 9-7 year where they just missed the playoffs. And people were talking, Peter King for MMQB was talking about Marcus Mariota for MVP and the Titans winning 11 or 12 games. So the expectations for some people with this team were there, and they just have not met them. And I think the high expectations have exacerbated some of the problems they've had a little bit. They've had their issues for sure, but I think it's been made much, much worse by the fact that people thought this team was going to take another step this year, and they just haven't.
Yeah, that's rough. And Marcus Mariota is going to get a lot of blame, I think, for that. And I expected a huge, you know, I expect him to take a huge step here in 2017, and he just hasn't. Is a lot of that due to the injury, and where is he at with that injury? Is he 100% coming into this game, or is he limited, and does that hurt his ability if he can't move around really well to do all the things he can do at quarterback?
Yeah, I don't think it has a lot to do with his injury. He did break his ankle in week 16 of last year and spent the offseason rehabbing. And I think where that wound up hurting him is it didn't allow him to work on his mechanics and work on, smoothing out some of the issues that he might have had throwing the football. It didn't allow him to establish a rapport with his new wide receivers, because it's basically an entirely new wide receiver core, including two rookies. And so I think there's just a myriad of issues that has held him back this year. I think the injury to his ankle a little bit at the beginning of the year, he injured his hamstring, but he seems to be fine now, injury-wise. Now it's just a matter of the offense, I think, is handcuffing him a little bit. And then I think, like I said, that rapport with his receivers is just not there. We've seen, like, it's kind of their passing game all year has been disjointed. The guy's on the wrong page. Him throwing interceptions, because we saw last week against the Cardinals, Rishard Matthews running an out when he thought he was supposed to be running an in, and Mariota threw it right to a Cardinals defender. So there are several problems. I don't think anything's long-term, though, and I think that's good news for Mariota.
So I'm going to ask you a question here, just to put you on the spot. If you had to choose one guy the rest of his career from Sunday forward, would you take Marcus Mariota or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Man, that's tough. Obviously, based on this year's sample size, you're going to take Garoppolo, but we've seen Mariota be excellent pretty much all of last year. I think he had a stretch last year at the end of the year where he had like 22 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. I mean, that's just phenomenal numbers. So I think I'll go with Mariota just based on the sample size, and we've seen him do it over the course of a full season. But if you ask me that same question in 12 months, I might have a much different answer.
Yeah, and you could do that with a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, if you looked at just Brock Osweiler's two best two-game stretch in the NFL, then, you know, it's like
yeah, exactly.
Whenever you look at it at that small of a sample size, and that's one of the things I'm trying to pump the brakes for my listeners and be like, there's still potential for Jimmy Garoppolo to not be as good as he's looked so far in these two starts. But, yeah, I can't blame anybody for being super excited, and he's looked in total control. Just real quick about the 49ers, since I know you follow them as well, like, what would be your plan of action with the 49ers going forward? Because you got Jimmy Garoppolo, who's in-house. Would you be trying to sign him up, or are you cool going with the, you know, because it's been such a small sample size and even three more games, I don't know if that would be enough to sway you. Would you be trying to sign him long term, or do you think the franchise tag and letting that go into next year is the right way to play it?
Well, I'm looking at the Niners' final three games here. They have the Titans at home, and then they're in Jacksonville, or home for Jacksonville. They play the Jaguars, and then they play the Rams to finish the year. Is that right?
Yeah, home for the Jaguars, and then at Los Angeles.
Home for the Jaguars at L.A., that's right. Regardless, those final three games, that's a tough final three games. The Titans' defense has been playing very well. The Jags have arguably the best defense in the NFL, and the Rams have a very good team just overall. If Garoppolo continues to put up, 8.5, 9 yards per attempt, continues being efficient with the football, making the correct reads, making good throws. I think if he does that over these final three games, I think that's all you need. That's three very tough tests that he's going against with a team that's not yet constructed. I mean, he's doing this with bare bones of a roster, and that would be very encouraging. If he could go out over these final three games and continue to play that well, I think at that point you would have to try and sign him long-term. But I also would see why they'd want to do the franchise tag, get one full year under his belt, kind of see how he does with an offseason, with a whole year of having a team that's his, and once teams get some tape on him, seeing how he adjusts to that as well.
That's a great point. These last three games, he's going to be taking on playoff teams. And those two wins, while he looked very good, it was still against the Bears and the Texans, who right now are both drafting in the top 10 if the season ended today. So a little perspective there. And but you're right, if he is able to, especially that Jaguars defense, which is looking monstrous, if he's able to torch that team, that would be, again, because they've got some great cover cornerbacks there, and the 49ers undermanned at wide receiver. That would be that's the one I'm really looking at to see, okay, what can he do here when his guys aren't able to separate and are just getting beat up on the outside. Back to the Titans here. Can you tell 49ers fans and the listeners of this show that don't watch a lot of Titans football what exotic smash mouth is, and also let them know, you know, it's not like an awful tropical 90s cover band. It's an offensive system, right?
No, it's so what it is it's a power-based run game. They are, when the Titans are at their best, they're running the ball down your throat, and there's nothing you can do about it. They're getting behind their big, nasty O-line. They have two giant running backs in DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. They're going to run those guys at you, and you're going to reach a point where you're just not going to want to tackle them anymore. And we've seen the Titans do that a few times this year, where their offense is just very sluggish, very slow. The fourth quarter hits, and all of a sudden the switch flips, and they are running for 6, 7, 8 yards a carry. So that is exotic smash mouth, kind of at its base. It's a downhill running game. But then where the exotic part comes in is they run a bunch of different formations at you. Their protection schemes for Mariota are heavy. They're going to chip you with they're going to get a tackle on you. They're going to hit your ends with a tight end. And then when he gets back, there's going to be a running back waiting for him. They run a lot of trickery. So the big joke on Titans Twitter is, you know, sarcastically saying exotic when they run a 2nd and 18 jet sweep to Taywan Taylor. Their fourth down play with the game on the line against the Cardinals was a screen pass for Adoree Jackson, who's a cornerback. I mean, they do a lot of very head-scratching stuff that I think people misconstrue as exotic smash mouth. I think that's just them trying to be creative. But ultimately what that offense is they're going to run a bunch of different formations at you, and they're going to run the ball down your throat.
So it sounds to me like it's mostly a smash mouth offense with a sprinkling of the exotic stuff, which is like what my old college roommate used to try on Madden.
Yes, that's exactly it. You're going to see they run a lot of like shovel passes to Delanie Walker. There's a lot of misdirection. There's a lot of counters. A lot of play action. There's just, like you said, a lot of stuff sprinkled in that just kind of keeps defenses on their toes. It makes defenses game plan and be very prepared. And I think that for this weekend is going to be the thing that's probably most concerning for the 49ers. A lot of young guys on that defense, and there is a lot to deal with this offense, just in terms of knowing where guys are lining up, knowing what, because they don't have a ton of traditional kind of just basic sets where it's like, oh, that we know what this play is going to be. They're going to keep you guessing. They're going to keep you on your toes. And that's where the exotic part really comes in.
You mentioned Delanie Walker there, former 49er. And on yesterday's show, I talked a little bit about Delanie, and we heard his comments about, you know, why he kind of put the blame on Trent Baalke, and that Jim Harbaugh wanted to bring him back. And it was funny because after Delanie Walker left, every offseason it was like, oh, man, the 49ers need to find that next Delanie Walker. And then you see him go to Tennessee and play as good as he has. And really, to me, from the point Delanie Walker left the 49ers to now, he's had a better career than Vernon Davis had from that point. And you started to realize, oh, wait, you can't just find another Delanie Walker because he's actually a pretty great player in his own right.
Yeah, man, he's so good. And I remember when he was at the 49ers, he dropped a lot of passes. He was a guy I always remembered, like, okay, he's a very good number two. He can do a lot of stuff. He's a Swiss Army knife, but you can't rely on this guy to throw it to him, you know, 8 to 10 times a game. It turns out he is. He's just been phenomenal. And he's still in his mid-30s, linebackers can't hang with him. He's too big for safeties. And you'll see, if you turn on any Titans tape, when Delanie Walker goes out for a route, there are two, three, four guys on him at all times because that's the only way to defend him. Even still, the interesting thing is you brought up how unique of a player he is. The Titans actually have a rookie tight end named Johnny Smith, who is a Delanie Walker clone. Did a lot of the same things in college. He can play that move tight end position. He's electric with the ball and his hands after the catch. So the Titans are set up pretty well at that position, not only now but in the future. Because, like I said, Walker's in his mid-30s, but I think he's still got a few years of good football left in him.
Yeah, he's such an interesting player in that he was out of Central – I think it was Central Missouri. He was a wide receiver, in a fullback's body. But then he even returned some kicks, I believe, early in his career with the 49ers. Just such a weird player in his ability to move in short areas. He was pretty quick. He would make people miss every time he caught the ball or every time he returned. I always remember he would make at least one guy miss. So it's awesome to see that development and see him get a shot to be the number one guy. Is Jonnu Smith as athletic as Delanie Walker? Is he like, are they just going to try to roll with the same style and have him eventually take over for Delanie Walker?
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, literally, I watched Jonnu Smith. I was doing draft stuff, and I watched him. And I'm like, holy smokes, this guy is Delanie Walker. I mean, just everything he does, the size-wise, the way, the positions he can line up at, what he does with the ball after the catch, all the variety of things you can do with him in the passing game. And then I was doing some more research on him, and every draft analyst had Delanie Walker as the pro con for him. The Titans haven't targeted him in the last like 3 weeks. I'm wondering if they might try and get him involved, but definitely check him out. Number 81 for the Titans. If he gets the ball in his hands, he's a lot of fun.
Another player on offense I want to talk about real quick. Actually, I want to ask you about Rishard Matthews. Is he back fully from his injury? Because I've got some fantasy playoffs, and he's on one of my deep teams and on my roster. I'm wondering if he's going to be back and heavily featured for the Titans.
Man, when he's in there and healthy, he's a must-start in fantasy for me just because he's going to get his target. But I don't know how healthy he is. He was back last week against the Cardinals, but was very uncharacteristically unproductive. Mariota looked Corey Davis' way a lot and was forcing the ball into Delanie Walker. Never really looked Matthew's way. I think they ran a screen for him. Might have targeted him a couple other times, but it was as quiet as I've seen him since the beginning of last season, before he became a prominent piece of this offense. So I would be wary of that. I mean, he's practicing in full. He's there. I'm just not sure exactly how healthy he is and how much the Titans will try to utilize him.
The rookie wide receivers, Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor. I like Taywan Taylor coming out of college, and he's got that speed, but Corey Davis is just a monster, one of my favorite players in the draft. Have you seen enough in those short glimpses? Because I know he hasn't been super productive. He's been hurt a lot this season, but have you seen enough? Have there been those flashes where you're like, okay, yeah, this guy's going to be like really, really good?
Yeah, there have been a couple times. I mean, he came out, the biggest sign to me was, so his training camp went, he held out day one, but signed his contract on the first day, practiced for 2 days, I think, and then hurt his hamstring and was shut down until the last week of camp. And even in that last week, he was pretty limited in what he was doing. Didn't play in the final preseason game. But then he came out in week one against the Raiders and went 6 catches, 69 yards. His first career reception was this deep ball down the right side, where I think it was David Amerson, the Raiders, was covering him. And he contorted his body to get up over Amerson, caught it with a hand in his face, tapped his feet in, held onto the ball as he was crashing to the ground. It was a phenomenal catch. And just one of those things where it's like, man, that's what this guy can do with no training camp, no preseason, and he's just going to go put up a catch like that and 6 for 69 in his debut. Yeah, this guy's going to be special. He obviously got hurt in week two and then was out for the next several weeks. And he just hasn't been on the same page as Mariota really all year. They miss on a ton of targets where it's just the route is off by a couple yards. It's that chemistry that you don't get until you've played with a guy enough and thrown with a guy enough that you just know where he's going to be. And I think they'll establish that eventually. And we've seen enough skill from Davis on the sideline. He's made some phenomenal catches on the sideline this year. It's all there. All the skills he saw in college are there. I think it's just going to be a matter of him and Mariota getting a chance to work together and establishing that rapport.
Talking to Kyle Madsen of Titans Wire here on Locked On 49ers. The few Titans games I have seen this season, a guy by the name of Kevin Byard, the safety, really just has looked awesome. He's looked like the best player on that team, maybe. How good is he?
He's all pro level good. I think he's the, according to Pro Football Focus, he's the top graded safety in the AFC. He's the third highest graded safety in the NFL. He just does everything, man. We talk about, with the 49ers, we talk about that single high safety role and trying to fill who can do that Earl Thomas single high safety role. Kevin Byard can. And there aren't many guys who can do that. He's so good in coverage. He can cover receivers, tight ends. He's excellent coming up in run support. There's just nothing he can't do on a football field. He had a 5-interception stretch in 2 games. That doesn't happen luckily. That's a guy who studies a game plan. He's athletic enough to get to the ball and be around the football, and he's very opportunistic in generating takeaways and just in general being a phenomenal safety.
I want to get your predictions on the game in a second, but are there any other like secret superstars on the Titans roster that Niners fans might not know about that they might get to know a little bit on Sunday?
Yeah, Wesley Woodyard, middle linebacker, is having an exceptional year. I think he's 31, 32, and just playing the best football he's ever played. He is all over the place. He's getting downhill in the run game. He's getting north to south, east to west, every direction. He's playing very well in coverage, and he's just been a huge reason that this Titans defense has been able to keep their offense in so many games. He's come up with 2 or 3 stops on teams' kind of last-gasp drives where they're trying to go down and, tie or take the lead. Woodyard will come up and have a big fourth-down stop to kind of end the game. That's happened, I think, twice this year. He is a phenomenal player, and you're going to see his number flying around a lot. Another guy is Jarrell Casey. Had his 5th consecutive year of 5 sacks. He plays on the interior defensive line. He's excellent in the run. He's very good generating pressure up the middle. So I think he's another guy that Niners fans are going to hear a lot about on Sunday.
Yeah, I remember Woodyard coming out of college. I believe he was a safety in college, right? Or he might have even played some safety in the pros before moving down to linebacker.
I'm not sure on that.
Right?
But I do know prior to this season they were looking at, man, this linebacker position is going to be tough. They drafted Jayon Brown out of UCLA. He's undersized, but he's good in coverage because they needed some athleticism back there. And then Woodyard came out this season like he shot out of the cannon. He's playing the best he has. And if he played safety at some point, it wouldn't surprise me just because he's so instinctual and he's displaying an athleticism that I was unaware he had.
Yeah, I might have made that up too, so don't hold me to that. all right, so real quick, some predictions here. The line is actually moving back towards the Titans. Yesterday, the 49ers were favored by 2. I just checked the MyBookie lines, and they've got Niners favored by 1.5. So it's creeping back toward the Titans' way. So, and I'm not surprised. The 8-5 team is where the money is starting to go, and they might, knowing the Vegas lines, they might have put it too far over because they knew that people would be betting on the hot team, the 49ers, and just 49ers are one of those teams that get a lot of money put on their side. So it might have been a little over on the 49ers side on purpose to start with. But how do you think this is going to go down? How do you like this Niners-Titans Week 15 matchup to end?
I went in. I left Week 14, obviously, because I watched the Niners first. I watched them go in and play very well against the Texans. And then I watched the Titans go in and post 7 points against the Cardinals. And I'm going, man, the 49ers are going to crush the Titans next week. But then, you start, as the week goes on, you start to kind of remember, okay, this Niners team is still young. They still have a ton of holes. And this Titans team is ultimately still an 8-win team. They had a bad week last week. It was their first really dreadful week all year. And you can't base it off 1 week. You got to look at the body of work. I think what we'll see in this game is a slow start by both offenses because that's what the Titans offense does. It takes them a while to get rolling. And then their run defense is excellent. And they do a very good job early in games of generating pressure on the quarterback. They have 23 sacks in their last 4 games. So their pass rush is on fire.
Wow.
And I think they're going to come out and cause some problems for the 49ers offense at the beginning. But then I think things will kind of open up on the second half. But I do think the Titans and that run game, and as good as the Niners' run defense has been over the last couple of weeks, I still think it's not their strongest point. And I think the Titans will be able to take advantage of that and eventually squeak out of Santa Clara with the win.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I have it going down too, just as far as the over-under, I think, is 45. I could see it being underneath that just because the team started out slow, and I think the 49ers prefer it to kind of go slow and play a little D at first. But just too much talent on the Titans' side of the ball. And Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have his work cut out for him if that pass rush is fierce. And Trent Brown, it looks like, is probably not going to play. He didn't practice on Thursday, so could be a tough go, although he was still making throws with people in his face last week. So, man, I've just been so impressed by Garoppolo, his accuracy, getting the ball out on time, making the reads. It's been kind of crazy, and you follow the 49ers so close. What was it like to see how different the team looks once you just plug in a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo?
It's really strange, and I think part of it has to do with Kyle Shanahan's offense as well, because this is the first time we're seeing it actually run with any sort of efficiency. And it's weird because even the Jim Harbaugh teams, those offenses weren't high-flying, crazy, going to go rack up a bunch of points offenses. I mean, at their core, they were a power run-based offense. Mm-hmm. They just happened to have an electric, exciting quarterback in Colin Kaepernick. So I think this is going to be, over these next couple of weeks and then into next season, I think this might be the best offense we've seen from the 49ers in couple decades.
That is Kyle Madsen. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle A. Madsen and all of his work at the Titans Wire. Kyle, thanks for coming on the show again, and we're not going to wait so long next time. Let's talk in the offseason, huh?
That sounds great, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Brian.
Hardest working man in the Twitter game there, Kyle Madsen. Thanks for joining the show. I think he had to lose a job. I actually joked with him on Twitter. I was like, man, you got too many jobs. He's working in radio. He's working mornings, managing editor of the Titans Wire, posting stuff there all day long. And so, props to him for all the hard work and making me laugh on Twitter often. So thanks again to Kyle for joining the show. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Be back next week with a Rapid React Monday episode after this 49ers-Titans Week 15 matchup. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.